Welcome to the online ministry of Pacific Beach United Methodist Church, located in beautiful San Diego, California. Pacific Beach UMC is a member of the Reconciling Ministries Network and welcomes persons of all ages and backgrounds for worship, study, and service opportunities. More information can be found on our website at pbumc.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
I'd like to start by doing something that I generally tell speakers and preachers not to do. So I'd like to begin by lowering expectations. You know, there are times as a preacher that that I underprepare. There are times that whatever happens in the week and just I'm not as prepared as I ought to be. There are times that I'm exactly the right amount of prepared. And there are times like today that I'm overprepared, that I've done so much reading and felt quite a bit of inspiration that all those things are swirling around in my brain and I just don't know how it's going to come out. I said to Shannon up here, I said, Shannon, I know that you're going to have to come up and read the scripture at some point, but I don't have any guidance for you about when that's going to happen. He said, I'll just roll with it. I want to start by talking a little bit. Several of you have asked, and this actually has some direction in it, about our vacation. You know, we spent a couple of weeks away, and it was wonderful, by the way. I don't usually, just me personally, I don't usually allow myself to take two full weeks away. It's almost 2 full weeks. This was, what, 13 days that we spent away. I don't usually do that very well, but that's what we did, and I'm really grateful. And the way that started out is we went up to Santa Clarita. My dad lives in the Santa Clarita Valley. Partly we went there because that's closer to Universal Studios, and we took the kids to Universal Studios one day, you know, so they could go to Harry Potter World and get the wands, and so that we could all collectively try butterbeer. It's not that kind of beer. And then the next day we spent in my dad's swimming pool, which was marvelous. Then we drove up to Paso Robles. We had the privilege and the joy of borrowing from a very generous friend, a fifth wheel camper and truck. So we drove up to Paso Robles to a campground there. We met another clergy family there, and so we were all there for several days together. While we were in Paso Robles, we did a little bit of wine tasting, but we also went to Hearst Castle, which was amazing and magical. We spent a day on a local lake, Lake Nacimiento, if you're familiar with the area. Gorgeous. You know, I'm not usually a pontoon boat kind of guy because I like fast, but it was great to be on a pontoon boat and all the kids jumping off and swimming, and it's just wonderful. From Paso Robles, we went westward to a little town called Three Rivers, which is outside Visalia, but you may also know that it's just immediately south of the National Forest. Which one? Sequoia National Forest. Thank you. I drew a blank. So, and then we spent a couple of days just perusing and enjoying Sequoia National Park, which, what an amazing thing to see a tree that's older than Jesus. Like, really, like a 3,000-year-old tree. To experience that. And then we spent a couple of days in Bakersfield. I was waiting for that. It's really hot in Bakersfield, so we didn't stay in the camper. We stayed in a hotel and literally vegged out in the air conditioning. But we have some friends in Bakersfield, so while they were at work, we were in front of the air conditioner, and then in the evenings we spent time together. And then we came home, and it was awesome. But one of the things that I found in terms of taking 2 weeks away is, as relaxing as it is to be away for that period of time, then you have to come back. And it's not like being back is bad, but you have to go through that whole adjustment period of coming back. And I'm not adjusted. In fact, in general, I'm not adjusted, but that's not what I was trying to say. You just have to get back into your patterns and all of those things. And it's been, you know, I was here last Sunday, but I didn't preach. So it's really been only a week since I've been back. But the first day of those, I had a big meeting that I had to go to. And then on Wednesday, starting Wednesday afternoon, all through yesterday, I was at an educational event here in San Diego called the School of Congregational Development, where more than 500 church leaders, clergy and laity, 500 church leaders all gathered together to learn and be inspired. So do you see why in the midst of that, like, there's a lot going on in my brain? You've heard me talk about having Sunday brain before. There's just a lot going on. And it's all good things. But it's hard. Now, part of that adjustment coming back, this happened very early this week. Part of that adjustment of coming back, I don't usually remember my dreams, but I had a dream that I remember. And here's how the dream went. I haven't told you about this. I had a dream where the bishop called and I was being reappointed. Now, this is not, I don't think this is a prophetic thing. None of that, so don't get worried. But it was this stress ball, because here's what happened. The bishop in this conversation said, I'm reappointing you, and he said he was reappointing me to this church that's a traditionally black church. I don't know if you know this about me, but I'm not sure that's a good fit. But I found myself, what was that?
I didn't laugh.
You're right.
Sorry. No, go. Go ahead.
You want to bring up a chair?
No.
Seriously, in my experience, I've seen a lot of cross-cultural appointments. My experience is that an African-American person being appointed into a Caucasian church does that transition a lot better than a Caucasian person being appointed into an African-American. That's my vision. That's what I have experienced. I'm sure there are people who do a better job than certainly I would. But as I was thinking about that in the middle of this dream, I don't know how I was thinking in the middle of this dream, but as I was sort of going through that, I found myself trying to figure out, how do I relate with this community? There's that kind of difficulty anytime there's a cross-cultural appointment. Those kinds of questions about how do I relate to a community who just in reality experiences the world in a very different way than I do. And I think about that being incredibly hard work. Well, I woke up from that dream, and then I've had sort of this week to think about that dream, and I thought for a second, to be honest with you, it's not unlike the phone call that I got that said, Bob, we want to move you from Grand Island, Nebraska, to this inclusive congregation in San Diego, California. I think it could be fair to say that this is a cross-cultural appointment. To come, in a good way, to come into a church that has been inclusive of our gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender worshipers for 25 years, we got to add 25 now, I can't just say 20 years because I've been here a few more, for 25 years, right? By my sort of rough estimate, I think about a quarter to a third of our congregation is openly gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, queer. This is a cross-cultural appointment. And as I thought about that, I had to think about how do I relate to a community that experiences the world in a different way than I do. You got to think about that stuff as a leader in a faith community. And sometimes I do that okay. And I got to tell you, my friends, in my guess, sometimes I'm not a very good leader. Now, you all are nice people, and I don't want you to take that as an opportunity to butter me up. That's not what I'm saying here. I'm saying that I'm human. And there are times that I mess up. And there are times that I mess up in a big and profound way. And there are times that I do all right. And sometimes that's just sort of who I am. I'm an extrovert, and I do okay just standing up and blabbing whatever comes out of my face for 20 minutes. And sometimes it even makes sense. But I got to tell you, my friends, I'm not a great administrator. And sometimes I don't do a very good job inspiring people to take on leadership for themselves, right? There are times that as a leader, I just don't have it in me. And sometimes it's that day, and sometimes it's just in life, I got to learn more about this thing. And for these things, I want you to know, for these failures, I want you to know that I am grateful. I want you to know that for the ways that I don't do a good job as a human, as a husband, as a father, as a pastor, I am grateful. And I want you to sit in that space for a minute, because I bet that we all have some situations like that where we just know that we don't do it right and we don't do it good enough. And sometimes we tell ourselves that, and sometimes the world tells us that. But I want you to sit in that space for just a moment and acknowledge that all of us together are human beings. Yes, created in the image of God, but not quite there. and sit in that space and see if we can find it in ourselves to be grateful. And it's in this space that I'd like us to hear our scripture. This is out of Paul's letter to the church in Ephesus. This is the fifth chapter.
Chapter 5, verses 15 through 20. So be careful to live your life wisely, not foolishly. Take advantage of every opportunity, because these are evil times. Because of this, don't be ignorant, but understand the Lord's will. Don't get drunk on wine, which produces depravity. Instead, be filled with the Spirit in the following ways. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Always give thanks to God the Father for everything in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ.
One of those verses is the very first way that I think I fail every single day. And I wonder if you'd join me in that. You see, it says, don't be ignorant, but understand God's will. Like, understand. That's not like hear it. That's understand it. Right? When I was in college, they'd sometimes give some sort of, I'm a math geek, I like math. I don't do math anymore because I do this, but I used to love math. Maybe that's a better way to say it. And calculus was one of my favorite classes, okay? And this professor would give this, they'd start out with this concept. And I'd be like, I hear you, but I don't understand it. Now, whether you're a math person or an English person or a physics person or some other kind of person, like maybe you've had that experience where somebody explains something to you and you're like, I hear you, but I don't get it. I feel like that's my relationship with God. God, I hear you, but I don't get it. I got to work through it. I got to struggle with it. My dad told me a story about an actor once, because I feel this way a lot. This actor was in front of the camera, and this actor was doing this scene in front of the camera, and somebody off camera was, I don't know, they're doing something. They were telling a joke or doing something. You know, some of the crew. Sometimes the crew does that. And this actor stopped. And then the director cut, and this actor turned around, and he laid into the crew, whoever was telling the joke or doing whatever they were doing. I tell this story because my dad worked in the film business, so if you don't know that, that's where this is coming from. So this actor turns around, and he lays into the crew. But here's how he does it. Says, I'm not any good at this. But this is a name actor. This is somebody you've heard of, but I'm not dropping a name. I'm not a very good actor. I have to work really hard at this. And when you're over here telling jokes or doing whatever it is that you're doing, it makes it harder for me to do my job. Help me so that I can do the best that I can, even though I'm not very good at it. That's the way I feel. I got to tell you. Like, just as a human being, I'm not always very good at my job. And so I'm grateful for the people who help me to do a better job. So when it comes to not being ignorant, but understanding the will of God, I'm lousy at that. But I also realize I'm not alone. I also realize I'm not alone, and how grateful I am to be in a congregation of, I love that sometimes somebody will come to my office and say, Pastor Bob, I want to talk to you about this, because honestly, I felt a little angry about it. I want to see what you mean about that, and let's have a conversation. Those are some of the best conversations I've had, because I tell you, in those conversations, very often, I understand what God wants more clearly. Sometimes when we sit up here with the kids, and I think you all have experienced this too, we sit up here with the kids, and they're talking about stuff that I had no idea we were going to talk about today. Amen, because I hear the voice of God. See, this is why I think it's important to be a community of faith. One of the ways I don't buy into the sort of traditional church structure is I don't for a second think that the person standing up here talking for 20, 25 minutes is the person with all the answers. Amen for that. Thank God. Because I think we come at the most profound and prophetic answers together. Or even better, we don't come up with the answers, but we come up with better questions. But we do that together. And one of the most profound ways that I feel like we come up with, whether it's answers or better questions, one of the most profound ways that we do that together is in the rest of this. Speak to each other with psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. Sing and make music to the Lord in your hearts. Now, it's not my intention to butter up our music program, because it takes us all. You know, the fastest way to get me to cry like a baby in church is a good song that we all participate in. You know, and I do that in like big crowds, right? Go to annual conference where there's 1,500, 1,600 people all singing in harmony, right? A good Wesley hymn, right? Or a contemporary song, and you got the drums going, and you could feel the bass in your feet, and you got the electric guitar with this nice sort of gliding counter melody over what we're singing. I will cry like a baby who's had his ice cream stolen. One of the ways that we can experience the power of the Spirit working in and through us is the ways that we make music together. But just as I said with the kids up here, it's not only about singing. It's not only about instruments. It's about sometimes the ways that we just move when music is happening. The gentle sway from side to side. The hand claps that sometimes happen, even when we clap on the wrong beat. What an amazing and profound experience it is when we experience the joys of music. You know, one of the other things, this is just a short tangent, but one of the other things that I read from that scripture about speaking to each other in psalms and hymns, imagine somebody who just has the right words to say at the right time where it feels almost poetic, right? That's the Spirit of God. That's the Spirit, the energy that's beyond us. And it's in these things where I find hope and gratitude in the ways that I don't do it right. It is in these things that I find gratitude and hope, knowing that it's not just on me, and thank God it's not about me. Because I believe, my friends, I believe that it takes us all together to be the body of Christ. Paul reminds us that we can't all be one body part, that we're gifted in different ways, and that it takes us all together to be the presence of Christ in the world today. And because we choose to gather together, because we choose to make music together, because we choose to be the body of Christ together, I have a renewed sense of gratitude and hope for the world. The closing preacher at this conference that I was at here, it was at the Town and Country Center in Mission Valley. The closing preacher talked about the theme over the course of the week, which was momentum. And we had to do some hard work about looking at the reality that if we look at the statistics, there's a dwindling number of people who even identify as Christian over the United States, to say nothing of those who identify as mainline Protestants. She said, but with that idea of momentum being the energy of an object in motion. Well, if the mass is smaller, it just means we got to move faster. If the mass is smaller, it means we got to move faster. And here's what I think. This is not what she said, but what I think about that. When I think about my limited understanding of physics, an object is in motion stays in motion unless it's acted upon by an outside force. Do I have that right, Pat? Yes, I do. Unless it's acted on. So here's the thing. If I am a person of faith, part of my job as a person of faith is not to allow an outside force to decrease my momentum. Are we, as people of faith, going to live into the momentum of being prophetic communities of faith? Are we going to be in motion? Are we going to increase our motion? And are we going to allow those things that would hinder us to do so? Or are we going to remain in motion? My friends, as a community of faith, we have an opportunity for hope and to be grateful. To be grateful. Let us give thanks. And I'd like to do that in a particular way. Don't get up yet. I bring one final sort of offering as a symbol of hope. It's in part because it's a song. I brought my guitar. It's a song that some of our youth heard at camp. We've done it here in church before, but our youth asked if I would do this song. Now, some of them went off to Sunday school, but I texted them all today, say, we're doing this song today, and we're doing it. But it's a song about hope. It's a song that reminds us that even in our darkest times, God brightens the skies. And so I bring you this song, again called Song of Hope. Let's make sure I'm in tune. Close enough. Let's put the words on the screen. If you want to sing it, great. If you don't, that's fine too. Heaven come down. Oh, sing a song of hope, sing along. God of heaven come down, heaven come down. Just to know you and be loved is enough. God of heaven come down, heaven come down. You know, this is a song that in one way asks for God to come down. I submit that God is already here. That God is already inspiring and moving us. Let us be grateful, my friends, for the God who moves, for the God who inspires, for the God who teaches, for the God who breaks in to our broken spaces and makes us more than we are. for these things we can be grateful. Amen.
Family, I invite you to join me in an attitude of prayer. Precious God, Lord, we ask that you would allow your Holy Spirit, Lord, to be manifest among us today. Lord, we ask that you keep us mindful of how your Spirit is present with us in this space, so that we can be grateful, Lord, for your love, for the relationships we have with our friends, with our families, Lord, that are in fact mirrors of your love. And Lord, for this we say thank you. We thank you for the ways in which you have touched us, Lord. We thank you for the places and circumstances you've placed us in that have benefited us and allowed us perhaps to grow into people that are beyond expectations. Lord, we thank you. And yet, Lord, we know in the midst of this, in the midst of examining ourselves, there are perhaps things that we know we'd like to improve upon, Lord. Our own, in particular, flaws, our own personal areas, our growing edges. Lord, we ask that you would help us to be mindful of those flaws or to be grateful for those issues and areas of growth, for they show us, in fact, how human we are. Lord, and we know that in spite of these flaws, in spite of these areas, these growing edges, you still love us, you still adore us, you still have compassion for us. And so, Lord, we ask and we confess that even though in the midst of knowing our own flaws, you love us, help us to love others in the same way. Help us to be mindful, Lord, that those whom we are in a relationship with who perhaps have their own growing edges, help us to extend that same kind of love to them that you have extended to us. Lord, we confess that this is a difficult task. But it's a task you have called us to do, that being grateful in our own areas of growth, Lord, we can extend love to ourselves and to others in the same way. Lord, we ask that you would just lift up those who are returning to school, college students, high school students, all those who are nervously anticipating being in this new chapter of their academic careers. We pray for those students, Lord. We pray for their families, their parents, if they're sending them to college, Lord, give them, Lord, comfort to help with the anxiety they may have of their child leaving. Lord, for those who are just going to high school, elementary school, we know that as many things that are happening right now with our countries, Lord, we pray that you would give them peace. And we pray for these students, Lord, that they may go and continue to grow into the beautiful creatures you have created them to be. And Lord, we are just so very grateful for the children and the young people we have in this particular congregation and in our communities. We know that through your support, through the love that we have from you that we are giving to them, that we are truly trying to do our best and raise them grateful. And Lord, we just thank you for the miracles that we experience every day. We thank you for the ways in which you move in our lives, Lord, unexpectedly, blessing us. We ask, Lord, that you would keep us mindful of these blessings so that we may in turn be a blessing to others. Help us live our life, Lord. Your Son, Jesus the Christ, who taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.